Hello and welcome to another edition of the SGR Coffee Break. This is episode 28, and in case you're wondering, hell has frozen over. You may ask why. Carrie, of all people, has started watching Twitch. There were a few of us, if you ever remember the now defunct Evilcast. Ross and I were big Twitch watchers, and Carrie, I believe, once said it would be a cold day in hell before she ever joined that bandwagon. Well, welcome to the bandwagon, Carrie. We have cookies and coffee and pie. And
okay. In my defense, what I said I didn't get was just watching regular people just play a game, like how you'll just watch streamers play Destiny and stuff like that. I'm just like, okay, I don't get that. I don't know why you... I mean, I like watching my friends play games. Like, when you came over, I enjoyed watching you play Dragon Age and Elite Dangerous, even though I had no idea what was going on in Elite Dangerous. But just watching these random people just play through a game, I don't get it. I don't get the appeal in it. But but this is a little different because it was a fighting tournament, and which was the only way I could watch it. And I also, I've never really understood esports in terms of, I still don't think they should be called athletes, professional gamers, I'm 100% on board for, but athletes kind of have issues with that. But I'm also not into MOBAs, so the idea of watching, the big esport League of Legends has never appealed to me. I've actually watched a few MOBAs be played. I watched Ross play during Extra Life, and then I watched a friend of mine play a MOBA at E3, and I was like, this looks so boring. He goes, yeah, MOBAs suck. So I'm not that into it, but I mean, fighting games, it's probably been my only way I'll be able to watch people who are good at fighting games play, and so it kind of helps, you know, when you actually know the game. I know Mortal Kombat X, and I don't know, it was really, really cool just sitting there watching people just play these games and roll off all these combos and perform these brutalities that I don't think I'll ever be able to do myself. Although I found out I was doing the brutality idea wrong, so I'm like, oh, well, that explains. Like, I thought it was something that you executed when they did the finish him. I didn't realize it's the final combo you do to kill them off. Mm-hmm. So I did not know that. Which I saw a few brutalities, which brutalities I saw, though, weren't as awful as some of the fatalities.
It depends on the brutality, really. Yeah. Some of them get pretty bad, and some of them are just like, okay, whatever.
Because most of the brutalities I saw, maybe because you see the same characters over and over, I think it was Kung Lao's brutality, where he basically just kind of flip-rolled them over so hard, their head came off type thing. It was like this quick little head splat. Whereas I was watching the semis on Saturday, most people were so into the zone that they weren't really doing fatalities. It was considered bad form or whatever to do it. It was kind of trouncing. But, because basically, they would be done. They'd, unplug their controller and they're out. But there's this one fatality that I happened to see, and I was just, totally, doing that over my computer screen, because it happened, of course, be when Gabe looked over. It was Melina's fatality on Raiden, where she's basically stabbing him so hard with the scythe that he's trying to get away, which ends up pulling his torso away from his body, and his entrails come out, and she picks him up and just kind of soaks her body in the blood. I'm like, dear God! Wow, okay, sweetie. You won, alright?
So, if you're curious as to why it is that Carrie was actually watching this, it was because, let's just face it, this is the Super Bowl of fighting game tournaments. EVO Evolution is what it's properly known as, but we call it EVO for short. It went on last weekend. For those that don't know what EVO is, they had just over 7,000 unique entrants, and it's all fighting games. So it was Smash, Melee, Smash Wii U, Killer Instinct, Tekken 7, Ultra Street Fighter, Guilty Gear, Persona, Ultra Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom. I think I got most of them.
I think you got them all, actually.
So there's 7,000 plus people showed up this year. This is like the biggest Evo they've had, and I gotta say, I gotta hand it to Capcom Fighters because I think they've done a lot as far as getting a lot more people interested into the fighting scene. Because now you have the Capcom Cup, you actually have like a decent pot now going to the winner. And before people go, well, the fighting game pots are like this one was like $30,000 if you 30, $36,000 if you won like Ultra Street Fighter. I believe that was the same for Ultimate Marvel, and I think it was 25 to 30 grand for Mortal Kombat. And you can enter, like a player can enter as many fighting games as they want, as long as they got to pay for it. And obviously you have to be skilled enough. So, technically, if you were, somebody that plays multiple games, you could walk out of there with 60, 90 grand if you're, really good. And where people are like, yeah, but League of Legends, you get 100,000. That you got to remember, that's split among five people. This is one person. So 30 grand for one person is a hell of a lot of money for
Well, for
playing a
some
game for.
people, that's an annual salary, So, I mean, that's just they make that in one weekend. And I think that they were saying that I think it was Sonic Fox, the one who won Mortal Kombat X at EVO. He won ESL, or somebody else won at ESL just the a couple weeks before, and they said that he got a $10,000 prize at ESL. So you got that $10,000 prize there, and then the $30,000 prize here. I mean.
And we're not even done, so
Right.
it's you still have Capcom Cup, which not everybody's gonna play in, but you have that going on. That happens at the end of the year. Plus, you have all these little tournaments. So there was like CEO that happened a couple weeks ago. You have the ESL stuff. You have Winter Brawl, a couple other ones that are just kind of small. They're not really big prize pools, but it's still a lot of these are still sanctioned. So I gotta hand it to, Capcom Fighters. They're doing a lot to actually bring in some more interest in the fighting game scene. Also, Yomi. It's a conglomeration of a bunch of players, and they're just all fighting game fighters. And they now you have a household, kind of like what you do in League of Legends, is you have the gamer house. Team Yomi is doing the same thing. They brought in a bunch of really skilled fighting game players, and you see them all over the place. In fact, they got really high in a lot of the standings in across the various games. So it's things like this that are starting to bring a lot of attention, along with streaming. Let's face it, streaming has been a huge boom to some of these games that we probably things that we would never see anymore. But man, just to hear, and it was huge because like I watched EVO last year, and it was not nearly as packed as it was this year. And it's I hope that EVO 2016 is even bigger. So. And we see in, I was tweeting out, or I was posting on the SGR Facebook page, just watching the concurrent viewers go up. And we hit at one point that I got to see was 220,000 people were watching the Ultra Street Fighter Championship, like the grand finals. And that's something that is just absurd in fighting games. We're happy if we see 15,000 people viewing. And by the end of the weekend, we're hitting League of Legends numbers. So. It was really cool. So the day started off, Evo started off. I believe you were watching Ultra Street Fighter and Smash Melee, correct?
On Friday was the only day I watched the Ultra Street Fighter, and I've not played Street Fighter since. What did we decide it was like the SNES? I was like, I don't
Yeah.
know if it's the NES or the SNES, but I think I was like fodder for my friend to practice because he was always Guile. Just the only reason why I remember that is because he always combed his hair before he started to fight, and which really kind of fits my friend in many ways. But so I'm not as familiar with Street Fighter, so this was an interesting kind of crash course into it. See what happens when I don't remember to turn off my phone. Gosh. Okay. Anyway. So I had a hard time kind of like totally understanding what was going on, but so I was watching the pools, and something that cracked me up was this one guy. I think I IMD was like, "Hey, he's playing like me," because he got the guy down. It was just fireball, 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 while the guy was down, and people started booing. I'm like, "Hey, he's working the system. I mean, you're down, you can't get back up. Sorry, this is kind of what's going to happen." But what I've started noticing with Street Fighter is, like, so the big thing with Street Fighter is to be able to get your combos down, and not only get them, but land them while you're trying to avoid the other person, you know, launching fireballs at you to get you to back up. And then on the converse side, when I'm watching Melee, watching those pulls, like, okay, so Melee is not entirely about the combos. Like, they're there, but it's not really about that. It's about controlling when you're in the air or getting the other person in the air. Because when they'd both be in the air, it would crack me up watching them, like, try to see who could get to that edge first. It's like this scramble of who could, some, you know, do the quad jump back onto the edge and then be able to knock the other person off. Because we're watching Star Fox standing there. He gets your kind of back up. As soon as he got a hold of the ledge, the person's like, bam, knock him back off, and just kind of stood there until he did it so hard that, you know, he blows up in the air and screams, and then that's it. So, but that's what I noticed. Like, I didn't really see that many combos. Like, not even in the finals. The last time I really saw some the combos that were fierce to do the KO to kick them out was when this one person did ice climbers. And they would just, like, get, like, they would, he would get the ice climbers to grab onto them, so they would both, they basically grapple him and pound the crap out of him to the point he would fly off. But, so that was a big, and then in a Mortal Kombat 10, what I noticed there was also mastering the combos and also when to properly land them and when it's good to get them into the corner. Because, like, Street Fighter didn't notice as much they're trying to get to the corner, but Mortal Kombat was all about forcing somebody into a corner yep. and seeing if they could possibly get out.
It's a lot, Mortal Kombat is a lot more corner heavy. Street Fighter, you still have that, and there are certain characters that once they're backed into the corner, it's basically, you know, they either have to fight to get out of it, or you just basically consider it a loss. So, let's see. I was able to watch all of Friday. I ended up leaving on Saturday. I got to watch, like, the first couple rounds of the Mortal Kombat pools, but then we took off to go to Wisconsin, and then I didn't come back until later on Sunday afternoon, so I got to catch Ultimate Marvel and Street Fighter on Sunday, and then I just kind of watched stuff on replay. So Street Fighter started off with 2,200 players.
That's basically a lot of pools. My God.
Street Fighter basically ran from, it started at about like 10 o'clock our time central and ran until almost midnight or just after midnight. I forget. Mm-hmm. It was a lot. Like, yeah. I was watching Street Fighter the entire fucking day. It was nonstop. So, and they did that because they had to whittle the pools down to, you know, top eight. So that's...
Well, no, I mean, the pools, I don't remember how many they take to the... But they actually, because they had so many people, they actually had quarters and semis on Saturday.
Yeah, so...
And then the top eight was Sunday.
So there was, it was a lot of Street Fighter. And it was really interesting to me between watching Friday and then ending on Sunday is... at least on Street Fighter and also on Ultimate Marvel, is that you'll notice a lot of character diversity. You get a lot of different characters. You also get a lot of stage diversity. By the time Sunday rolls around, you pretty much have what people consider the top tier characters, and everybody's playing in the training stage. And like on Street Fighter, most people are playing in Winter Wonderland on Ultimate Marvel. Mortal Kombat's kind of nice because, you know, people just chose random, so you always ended up with some new stage. But you still ended up with pretty much solid character choices in that one, too. But that's what I really liked, enjoyed most on Friday, is just seeing what people were going to bring and what they thought was going to work. And you got to actually see, you know, some new play styles, some new characters that you're like, you know, how would I actually work this character? Like, you know, within the first, I think, 2 or 3 hours, I saw 2 or 3 DJs on Street Fighter, and it's just, you know, DJ is one of those characters that people pull out for funsies, but never really take into a tournament. And to see him, actually see players using him and winning up until they started getting to some of the higher skilled players, you know, that was kind of cool. So I very much enjoyed that. But it was, by the time Friday night rolled around and they were like, yeah, we're done, we're out, I was just like, oh my God, I'm so burned out on all this Street Fighter knowledge at this current moment. And just... But it was cool because there are players that I really wanted to follow. EGPR Balrog is like the guy that I follow a lot, because he's just a really cool guy. And so, you know, watching him and then seeing him advance through winners and then get knocked into losers and then start making his way through losers, that was pretty cool. So I very much enjoy it. I never loaded up a Smash game at all, so I can't even talk about Smash.
Melee, I never watched the Wii U version because I've never played it. But I still can't believe that they use Melee, because, you know, that's GameCube. But, I mean, I loved Melee back then.
Melee is basically considered, like, the best of the Smash series, so that's why it's any tournament that they have that, they basically, you know, there's always a Smash Melee, so.
But my son, like, he's watching it, and he was like, well, Mom, when I'm 18, can I play Mortal Kombat with you? I was like, yes, when you're 18, we can play Mortal Kombat together. And then I'm watching Melee, and he's like, I want that. I was like, well, I have that. Well, can I play that with you? I was like, yes, we can play Melee together. That is not a problem. Of course, he's like, I'm going to be Pikachu. I'm like, you be Pikachu. That's fine.
Pikachu, she's you.
It's my big beef with watching the Melee is that too much Star Fox. Too many people were Star Fox, and the guy who Star Fox is who ended up winning, everyone was booing the guy he was playing against because he used Jigglypuff, and I looked up why people booed for Jigglypuff, and they're like, well, because he dodges. He's like, that's so, I mean, so it's not as, like, big of an action as you want, but if that's what that guy's playstyle is, who cares? Like, the booing really bothered me.
And, yeah, it's all part of...
Yeah, well, I complained about it, and they're like, oh, but there's a reason behind it. It's like, I don't care what the reason behind it is or what tradition is. That's classless and rude. And the taunting was a little much. Like, sometimes, like, you can tell it was for fun. Like, they're both laughing about it. But this one guy, like, in the Mortal Kombat, the semis, taunted this kid. And this kid was, like, this guy was older than me, and the kid was 13. I'm like, he's 13. Let it go. Even if he taunted you first, you're like 30 years older than him. Let it go.
Well, there's all kinds of shenanigans going on. I saw it, like, Evo at the very end did like a little montage of all the winning stuff, mm-hmm. and things that had been going on throughout Evo. And, like, I think it was in a Smash game. I don't know if it was Wii U or Melee, but, like, one guy gets up and undoes his belt and throws his belt on the ground and takes his shirt off and lays it on his competitor. And they're still at the character select screen. And his competitor looks at him like, what the fuck? And then he takes his shirt off and everybody goes wild. And it's like, it's just, yeah. I mean, the taunting kind of thing, that's something that just you got to deal with in the FGC, because it's what happens. And the boos happen. And especially if you'll notice boos come up a lot if you know that a player is really good at two characters. Like, if they have X character and then they have a pocket character and they have one more that they may be working on, and then they just choose some random shit character, and you're just like, what, why? Because at that point, you're basically, anybody that's watching it is saying, yeah, that person is basically just throwing this fight away because they're not playing their strong characters, or they're not counterpicking, or...
Okay, well, but that's their choice. No reason to boo it, because you're not seeing them use their top character. If they want to be a dumbass and take a risk, so let them.
Well, that's the way I see it, but, you know, this is just part of what happens in tournaments. It really is.
Well, correct me, because at any time, I was in the pools, mostly, because in the pools, you know, they don't have the big stage set up. Anytime anyone used casting in one, someone from the crowd always yelled, "Do the selfie!" Every single time. I only saw one guy actually do it. As soon as he did it, he unplugged his controller and walked away. He's like, "I'm not gonna watch this." And somebody else, like, they yelled, "You know, do the selfie!" And he turned around and flipped them off. And he didn't even do the bubble head. He just, you know, unplugged his controller and left.
So, did you get to watch? I take it you watched Mortal Kombat a bit on Saturday.
Yes, I watched the semis all day, pretty much all day on Saturday when I could. We had other things going on, but and then the finals were that night, so I watched the semis like all morning, and then that night I stayed up until midnight watching the finals. Was the finals on Sunday?
No, the MKX ones were. No, the MKX was on Sunday. It was at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Pacific. Okay. Yeah, that's right, because it was like, I knew because it was right after I got back from church. So we got back from church and changed clothes. Like, okay, I'm watching the finals today. And Sean's like, is this what you're doing today? I'm like, yeah, you have a problem. I had my Surface set up, you know, to stream it. And, well, you know, that's right, because AMC had Back to the Future trilogy all day. The kids could watch that, and Sean was happy, and he took Gabe to play golf. I was like, this is great. The baby's napping, and I'm watching the finals without any disturbance. And but yeah, I was up till midnight watching the MKX semis.
Yeah, and that was, I watched this one yesterday, the day before, something like that. And, like, I watched these in a really bad order, because, like, I watched the finals, so I know who won. And then I was like, oh, I wanted to know how Sonic Fox got knocked into losers, and then you told me, and I was like, well, I want to see this now, because you had made a comment, it was like Sonic Fox just wasn't there for that fight, so...
He never had command of the fight, at all.
So I watched it, and to me, it was like Sonic Fox just wasn't there. That wasn't... I've watched Sonic Fox now at a couple tournaments, and to the people that shit on this kid, I mean... He's a really good MKX player. He really understands it. And to see him, he started off with Katana, really didn't do well there. And then I watched him pull out Eret in Black, and it's like, okay, so you should be really good because this is like your main character. And he just, the combos weren't there. He was like, he just wasn't pressuring. To me, it was like he just wasn't there because you watch the next fight. It was... you know, he's now in losers, and you watch him in the next fight, his very first fight in losers, and all of a sudden he's just kicking ass. And it's like, okay, either he didn't have your coffee or something, but he clearly got woken up for that one. So, and ultimately Sonic Fox goes through and wins the final. And I believe he played both Katana and
Eret in Black at that one. What was really funny was when he was doing the losers final, because he had, is he the loser's final, or when he reset the bracket in the grand finals, I don't remember. But he started playing Katana, and he was playing against, was using Kung Lao. And he was just wiping the floor with Kung Lao. And so then that guy changed it to the Buzzsaw.
Yeah.
Kung Lao. And then started pummeling back to Sonic Fox, and Sonic Fox immediately changed over to Eret Black, and then that was it. And so it was kind of cool watching because we were, you know, commentating about, you know, how the matchups can really change and just doing a subtle difference with the variations, why they think that's so cool with the variations, how the subtle change can make a difference in your gameplay, which makes me now, it's like, really? Because I didn't think the variations make that much of a difference, but just like how little I've really played with Mortal Kombat X. Not that I haven't wanted to, it's just I've had other things to do. And because like I knew that there was different attacks and there's different weapons, but I had no idea like just the differences someone made, because I think it was in the finals in the loser bracket, they chose Noxious Reptile, and the commentators were like, that's a mistake, like you should choose this other version of Reptile, Noxious Reptile is not good for that. And sure enough, the guy was like out rather quickly.
Yeah, there was also a match where somebody chose Noxious Reptile, and the commentators were like, I don't know about that. But then the guy playing Noxious Reptile actually won because of the DOT that happens, or the area of effect, actually. The AOE from Reptile having that poison cloud around him. So this is one of those things where he got his opponent in the corner, and like they're just standing there in the corner, and his opponent is taking damage because of Noxious Reptile. So... yeah, it really is, to see how quickly they'll change up variations.
Mm-hmm.
See just how much of a difference that can make, and you know, it's ridiculous. And the nice thing is that we're actually starting to see MKX mature, so players are actually getting very accustomed to it now, so they're knowing what to look for, and you know, as patches come out and characters get normalized, is what they're calling it in MKX. Right. They don't call it buffs or nerfs. As characters get normalized, you're actually starting to see those characters. Like, I didn't see a whole lot of Bojitsu going on. You know, they're just...
No, I didn't really see Kugen at all.
And when the game first started, within the first 2 weeks, there was like Winter Brawl or something that happened, and they had MKX there. And that's all you saw was Kung Jin Bojitsu, and it was just nonstop. And it's like, okay, well, this is clearly the best character. And now we're several months after the release, and now we're like, oh, okay, so now we're getting some Kung Laos and some Kanos, and we still have a lot of Sonyas. I do know, I did notice that Sonyas
I
like.
didn't really see very many, so I saw a lot of Cassie Cage. I did see a few people using Tanya, and Tanya was actually all the way up in the loser bracket, so someone brought Tanya all the way up in there, and that was pretty cool.
And now seeing
But
Katana being pulled out, that was really cool to see that.
yes.
Still quite a few Quan Chis and Shinnoks.
Oh my gosh, I got so sick of Shinnok, and I was actually really, really glad that Shinnok never made it to the finals, because I was so tired of Shinnok. And even the commentators were like, I really hope that the finals is not all Shinnok, and instead it was actually a really good variety, I thought, in the finals. Although they did make one comment about one character that's like, we haven't seen this person today. It's his personal tournament. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. And that was Kida. Apparently nobody
Yeah,
played as.
nobody played Takeda.
I saw a couple of Tenchis. Now, I wasn't able to watch the pools, so I didn't see any Sub-Zero Scorpion, but I'm sure they were there
Yeah, I saw a couple
in the pools.
Sub-Zero or a couple Scorpion matches. I'm really trying to think. I did not, and I remember our commentator making a comment about how Takeda went from kind of a bad character to a good character, and now he's kind of back to a lame character. So that's why we're not seeing Takeda anymore. So I
No,
also
I didn't see Jackie Briggs either.
I did see some Jacks, but I didn't see any
Yeah, I
Jackie.
saw
But I
some
haven't
Jacks.
really seen a whole lot of, I saw Jackie when the game first came out and people were still kind of playing around, but I have, she kind of fell off the
Yeah. I did see a lot of Ermax, which I'm like, oh, I can't stand him. But it was so funny because they would always, every time someone played Ermac, they would do the classic skin, which was just a reskinned Sub-Zero. Just in the red and black, I'm like, wow. I did see someone play Sonya in the classic Sonya, which was kind of, to me, that was kind of cool.
I did find it interesting that when I started watching on Saturday morning, the couple little bits that I got to see out of the pools is that Shinnok wasn't even unlocked. Like, there was no characters unlocked. So I was like, wow, that's really odd for
Yeah,
being a tournament.
that was a mistake, because it was really funny, because the guy, it was like really early. We tried to load up Shinnok, and it was like, you have to complete the story mode, so then they had to bring like someone to help over. And Tanya was like, well, if you'll just be patient with us, while we play for the next when we play story mode for the next 4 hours, we'll get all these characters unlocked for you.
Yeah, because and then when I watched the finals, I noticed that there was a guy playing Jason. I was like, oh, they must have switched PlayStation 4s because.
Yeah, cool. Because well, that because that team. Well, the match got moved. Like they brought in other people who didn't need that, and so they had to switch it. Had to switch it out. So kind of embarrassing, but because yeah, because people will want to play as Shinnok. I did see someone use Jason in the either the semis or the finals.
Yeah, I saw that too. I think it was in the semis.
Yeah.
So, let's see. So that basically gets MKX. What do you think overall as you were watching it?
I really enjoyed it. I've definitely gonna like. I have now subscribed to this channel so I can see if there's the main. So I can keep my eyes out for any other fighting tournaments. It made me really want to do nothing but practice mine to like just to try to compete. Just because it's so sad I didn't see any girls there, and. I don't know, and it may just be that fighting games are just, I mean, most girls maybe not just be typically into fighting games. But,
There's actually a couple female players. I can say that. The and I'm just gonna say it. I'm not trying to be sexist or racist or whatever you want to label me as, but they generally never make it out of like the first couple rounds. So,
yeah. Which is what would happen if I went. Like, they would just, I'd be knocked in the loser's bracket, like, immediately, but.
what I would really like to see is that especially in the Street Fighter scene, because the Asian players just kick serious
Oh my
ass.
gosh, they do.
What I would really like to see is a female Asian player come in and see how far she gets, because those Asian kids, man, they either win the event or they just get really, really far, and they push a lot of players to their brink. So it would be really interesting to see how well an Asian female would do if she were to play. And it just, I don't know if it's, you know, a couple years ago, there was a big hoopla in the FGC because one of the main players, it was an Evo tournament, made a really snide remark about having females there, and he got all kinds of backlash. And I don't know if it's just that they're that ladies or women and girls are afraid to come in because of, let's face it, it's like adolescent hour.
Well, yeah.
You have so much testosterone there. But every time I watch like some of the smaller tournaments, there's always females in the audience, so they're watching. And even Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom has
The female
the
commentator.
female commentator, and I forget her name.
I just know, like, it's Persia XO, that's
Yeah,
about
that's
it.
it. It's Persia and Yipes who usually that do that. You know, and she brings a lot of excitement when she's. I know I generally turn chat off on Twitch on all channels just because chat gets stupid, but every time she comes on, like chat just gets really dumb, and I'm like, you know, she's there. She's very hyped about the game. She obviously
She knows
enjoys
what
it.
he's talking about.
Yeah, and I was like, hey, we need more people like her in there, and maybe we'll start seeing some diversity. Ultra Street Fighter 4, there were a couple females. They were very much in the early pools. You caught them very early in the morning. By the time mid-afternoon rolled around, they were pretty much gone, and you didn't get to watch their losing fights because a lot in Ultimate Street or Ultra Street Fighter, a lot of those matches also took place off screen, off of stream because there was just so much going on.
Right.
So you know, you would see a couple of them come on, and there may have been more. We just never saw them because they weren't on stream. So, and even with MKX, I'm pretty sure that game was going on Friday as well, while they whittled down the player base, and you just, you know, you never saw them because they weren't on stream. But yeah, I do admit I would like to see a lot more, and hopefully FGC, you know, maybe we can drop some of the testosterone and just kind of, you know, be welcoming and get some more diversity. But anyway, MKX, you very much enjoyed it. Loved seeing the combos. Did you learn anything from it?
I learned how much I suck at it. I learned how much I did not know about it. I'll put it that way. Like for example, like I learned how the brutalities work. You know, it's not like there's really an instruction manual that says the brutalities happen. You can't execute them at the finish, which is what I thought you did. You have to, it's during, it's basically you have to time it so that it's the final assault. I mean, I still need to catch up on the terminology because there were some other things like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but that's, you know, also my inexperience. I tried watching Marvel versus Capcom 3, and I'm so out of the watching Marvel that I was like, I have no idea what is going on. There's just so much on the screen at once, and it's insane. And like,
I think I've warned you of that too. I was like, if you want to see crazy, watch Ultimate Marvel
oh
because
my
that shit
gosh.
just gets. Because that is the one game. I mean, we talk about combos. Ultimate Marvel and
Well,
Killer Instinct
because
are
you got the
both.
tag team combos with
Oh,
Marvel,
yeah.
that's the thing. It's just like you got to they bring in three people. Like, why well, can't keep track of the I forget it.
Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3, actually, the whole Marvel versus Capcom series, is so dependent on those in on combos. And it's so bad that if you get one hit and you can keep your combo going, you can take characters out. Like you can watch an entire character's life bar go to nothing off of one combo string. But this is also one of those games where if you drop that combo, your opponent can instantly turn the tables and kick your ass. I've watched players come back with one character half life, take his opponent out who had three characters all full life, and come back and win because their opponent dropped a combo, and this player was like, okay, got his combo strung together, took out one character, knew how like would do the read correctly, so that way when the next player came in or the next character came in, they automatically had a counter already for it, and just they would win. But yeah, this is a game that is so insane to watch because it's so fast paced, the combo strings are so ridiculously long. And there's so much flashy things going on, like as players get tagged in, and you're watching meters, and yeah, to me, it's a lot of fun to watch. It's not something that I would ever really want to try to do competitively. And you get so, I got, by the time the finals rolled around, I was so sick and tired of seeing White Magneto, White Sentinel, White Doctor Doom in Winter Wonderland, because people seem to think that if you have white characters in a white world, it's harder to see. Well, it may be when things get really going, but it got so old. It's like, oh, you're going to choose White Doom again. Okay, great. Oh, it's going to be Winter Wonderland. Okay, great. That's fine. Yeah, can we just get to, it was like the one time I was like, can we just do a training stage? Because that's really what I want.
But, you know, but I witnessed that same thing kind of happening with Mortal Kombat 10, with which or Mortal Kombat X, with what you're saying about dropping the combo, because it was, I think we were talking, it was Sonic Fox and Honeybee, am I correct? The Honeybee was just like pounding on Sonic Fox, got him in the corner, was just relentless, and Sonic Fox had like teeny, teeny health bar left, like he was about to lose that round. And Honeybee dropped the combo, and it was just like, as long as he just gave Sonic Fox a present. Because all of a sudden, Sonic Fox was just up and just unleashed, and I watched him wipe out. Because he just kept doing all these combos with Kitana constantly and wiped him out. Like, I just started going, oh my gosh, I can't. I mean, because the way he was able to read that and instantly react. I would love to be able to react that well, just to be able. But I know that's also from how many hours they play this game a day to, you know, get so used to how characters react to things and how you can, you know, sense what's going to happen next. And because I mean, they probably play this game like what, 10 hours a day,
Oh yeah,
you know, and
easily.
they're prepping, you know, and that's their job. I mean, literally, that's what they do. They get up, roll out of bed, work on their characters all day. They probably don't get to play anything else, and then that's their choice. And like, this is, you know, this is not my choice. But yeah, I think it'd be fun to actually go to one of these tournaments and just kind of watch the insanity.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. And there was a new one, a new thing for Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, and that was we had a non-American actually win.
You mean
And
an Asian?
no, he was Canadian.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to it was Kane Blue River.
Oh, you talk about Ultimate. Oh, you said
Yeah.
Street Fighter, I
Oh,
think.
sorry, Ultimate Marvel
Marvel,
vs. Capcom
yes.
actually had that's been dominated by the US. In a
In
lot.
Melee, the finals was funny because it was all American and two Swedes, and it was the Swede who won with his freaking Star Fox.
Craziness, right?
So
Just
much, so
absolutely
much Star
insane.
Fox. Oh, it was really funny when I was watching the pools, and I was watching someone use Princess Peach, and they're like, "That's a mistake. You should never go in Princess Peach." And she kicked Star Fox's ass. Like, that's kind of funny. Oh no, it was Marth's ass. She just whipped up on Marth. Like, ah, well, I could say I saw Princess Peach kick Marth's ass today. I never thought I would say that, but I did see a lot of Sheeps, a lot of Pikachus, a lot of Sheeps. A lot of Star Fox, not too much Star Fox. Some Jigglypuff. No Mario. No Luigi. I didn't see any Donkey Kong. Which was funny because every time I played Donkey Kong, so I mastered this one combo he had. You couldn't touch him if he was able to execute it. But he would just do the ground pound. He'd just sit there and just pound the ground over and over again, and you get anywhere near him, you're going to get hit and thrown off. So, but I guess, obviously, some people have a figured out a way to get past that, or they've normalized that so you can't do that anymore. That's what I would do at the time.
Let's see. So we had let's see. I also watched I did watch the KI stuff, but I don't follow KI enough to know all the players. I just know that to me, by the time I was done, it's like, yeah, I kind of want to get this for my Xbox One just to play it out and see. Because I mean, I enjoyed KI when I was on the Super Nintendo. I can't really comment on anything that I think was really badass or great, because like I said, I don't follow it. I watch it when it's there, but it's not a game that I tend to follow a lot. So I mean, it looked cool. It was a lot of fun to watch. Congrats to everybody that was in that. So I didn't watch Persona yet, and I haven't watched Guilty Gear, so I can't comment on those. I
I watched the
did.
Guilty Gear finals, but I don't understand it at all. So that, wow, look at all the anime.
Oh yeah, the anime games are ridiculous, and those games are, yeah, it's like Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom on a whole new at a whole new level of crazy, because there is so much shit, especially if you watch Persona. That game is ridiculous to watch because there is so much shit going on. You're just like, what the fuck just happened? And somebody's dead, and you're like, okay, that was cool. I don't know. I watch them because they're entertaining. The commenters. I didn't watch the Tekken 7 stuff either because I've just kind of
I don't know
fallen out.
anything about Tekken, so I
I've
don't
kind
know
of
too much
fallen out of
detail.
that one. So I move on to the big one then for me, and that was Ultra Street Fighter in the finals.
I couldn't stay up. I think I left at 10.
Oh my God, those finals in oh. So the finals went on for I think just over 3.5 hours, 4 hours almost. We had time called at character select because Infiltration had just gotten his ass beat, and they sat there and like, and I forget who he was playing at this point. I think it was Gamer B, and they both like were so mentally drained by the time they got to this point that they both were like, "We're gonna sit at character select." They started drinking water. They were like wiping their brows. They were just, you could tell that they were beat. And then Infiltration sat there for so long that they actually pulled out a clock on him and said, "You have 60 seconds to lock in your character and get this shit going." Because it was a good 5 minutes that they were sitting there just at character select. The last, I would say the last five matches. So you had, let me bring it up real quick. Do-do-do, up here. So you had Momochi, you had Gamer B, Infiltration, Nemo, II, Takeda, Balrog, and Knuckledew, basically kind of rounding off, you know, the last couple rounds. It was nice to see PR Balrog get in top eight because he had claimed that he had retired. And I hate when gamers are like, "I'm retiring." But he, Pierre Balrog, got a full-time job. Basically, left the Street Fighter scene for about a year. You didn't never didn't see him at any more events. And then I think it was CEO this year that all of a sudden he's just there, and you're like, "Wait, I thought you weren't around anymore." And it was really good to hear that, you know, they did like a how many times can you beat somebody. And so he beat like 25 people. Then he got, don't think he won CEO, but he got like top two. And he finished Evo at a top eight. And he's been pretty consistent anytime that he's ever been at Evo to finish in top eight. So he got seventh place. But when we start, there's the II fight where things really started getting insane. Where after Balrog is knocked out, it's pretty much like your last American hope, and it all turns into Asians at this point. And man, would they go back and forth. Their fights just, I couldn't imagine being a commentator because there was so much technical stuff going on, and all of a sudden, you know, some of these kids are pulling out moves that you're like, "I didn't know that that was a counter. I didn't know that you could actually do that there." And you're watching FADCs like crazy, and you're seeing moves being canceled in midair, and it just, man, those last five fights are so just watching them, you're like, "Oh my God, I'm exhausted." And to watch Gamer B go from losers and basically make a run, and Gamer B never stopped. Like, he never really got to see him get up out of his chair because he would win his fight, he would be in the next round. So you had to fight the next round. He'd win that one, had to fight the next round. He got all the way up into the winners and reset the bracket on that, and then had to, you know, so Gamer B just totally destroying on a level that I was just like, okay, this is crazy. It was interesting because Infiltration is known as like he doesn't have a main. The entire roster is his main. He's that good at just picking people. And this is one of those times where you saw him pick Abel. And Abel's not a character you see in grand finals, or it's not something you see in championships. You see Abel being used to get up to championships, but in championships you generally don't see them. He pulls out an Abel, and everybody's like, "Okay, let's see what he's going to do here." And he actually won with an Abel, and you're like, "Okay, guess he, you know, he's really busted that out." Out of everything that happened, though, on the finals, between the time resetting, Gamer B making his run up, the most heartbreaking thing to see was it was the last three rounds of Grand Finals. So Gamer B has already reset the bracket. Momochi's up by two. Gamer B's got one on the board. And all suddenly, a pause happens. And when that happens, It could be, you know, sometimes you hit a button and you pause it. You automatically award that round to your opponent. So it turns out Momochi had his stick had pressed start, so automatically awarding Gamer B the round. And at this point, it's at now that it's at tournament point for Momochi. And what happens is so Gamer B walks up, punches Momochi, so that way he's Gamer B just has a little bit of the life lead. This way they all keep their meters at where they're at, because they don't want to lose that. And Momochi's controller hits start again. You had a fucking controller failure in grand finals at the very last round. And that was heartbreaking, because
I heard that the fight stick broke.
So Evo was kind enough to Evo was kind enough to be like, let's get him another controller, and everybody's like, no. So eventually, Momochi was fighting on a Razor stick. That's the one that failed. And then they brought him up a Mad Cat stick, and he finished it off. Momochi won, but there was a good 4 to 6 minutes or so that both players all suddenly had this, you know, we have a pause. They're, you know, all suddenly your focus is getting taken away because you've got a broken stick. You got to figure out what the hell's going on. Momochi comes back and wins it. But you could, to me, what you could really tell is you could tell that he didn't want to win this way. Like, to him, you could tell he was really upset that his stick broke at that particular point. If it had been at any point before this, it might have been okay. But grand finals, you're kind of fucking up Gamer B's flow because of and it's a technicality, right? It's not like Momochi did this on purpose. At the same time, you could really tell when he was standing up there holding his trophy, he was just not happy about it. And even the audience, when they got to Gamer B and they were awarding him the stuff, like the audience just stood up and roared and gave him the thing and, you know, gave him all the support. It's just really hard to see that happen at that particular stage. And it just...
Well, I don't think that they should have let him go on, because, you know, it's like, so the stick broke. Well, you know, it's the same thing, like, you know, in any athletic sport, when something breaks, sorry, you know, if you're out at, like, the tennis players, you're out of tennis rackets, well, you should have brought some more rackets. You know, it's just, it's, I don't know. Like,
I was really surprised that I was surprised that there wasn't more EG people up there to be like, yeah, here, take my stick and play. And I don't know where he got the Mad Cat stick from, but that when that happened, there was just like, you could tell everybody was just like, this fucking sucks that this had to happen here. And it, you know, Evo had to make the call to be like, if you can get a stick, you can keep playing. So thankfully they got him a stick, but you could definitely tell that when they came back to fight that last round, that Gamer B had lost
the momentum and
that momentum that he'd been that had been carrying him through so many rounds to this point. And, you know, it was hard. That was a really hard one. And I hope it's something that, you know, we don't see that often. You do get pauses every now and then in a lot of games. Sometimes you get a missed input or whatever and your finger hits the start button. But this, because it was a stick failure, man, that's hard. And I will be curious to see if Momochi keeps using Razer. I know that Evil Geniuses is sponsored by Razer, so there's kind of that whole thing, you got to do that. But at this point, I would not be happy with Razer. And I did see a lot of Razer sticks, so, you know, maybe it's just a fluke. Who knows?
Great.
But, yeah.
Well, who was the guy who celebrated too early? Was that in the finals?
No, and I forget what game. It wasn't... Street Fighter, I think it was Guilty Gear.
Okay.
Where the guy had he'd run a string of combos, because I remember seeing a glimpse of it, and I do believe it was Guilty Gear, but he'd started a string, got up to start celebrating, and his string didn't land that final blow, and his opponent was just like, fuck you, and just went ahead and beat him.
Yeah. See, you don't celebrate until you see the characters do the winner's dance.
So.
Yeah.
So, overall,
it was a good experience. I really enjoyed it. I am officially a fighting game community fan.
So I'll have to send you the link for Team Spooky, because Team Spooky is the one that streams a lot of the other tournaments, actually.
Okay, cool.
So you can get in that. ESL also does a couple of them now and then, but Team Spooky is the one to watch, and it's generally Mortal Kombat now, Street Fighter, and Ultimate Marvel. Get some Guilty Gear in there too, some Persona every once in a while. But overall, you enjoyed it, so welcome to the Twitch streaming club,
No. I'm
Twitch
not really.
watching club.
No. Watching fighting game esports. I can't really call myself a Twitch streaming person unless I sit there and just have, like, streams of random people playing games all day, like what you do.
Oh, hey, it's that first taste, right? It's that little bit that gets you addicted, and the next thing you know, you're gonna be like, I should check out some other Mortal Kombat players. I wonder if they're actually streaming. Oh, look at that. There are some Mortal Kombat players. Oh, I'll watch them just play random people. Okay. It's okay. It's okay, Gary. The pool's warm. It's fine. You can do more than just dip your toes in it.
If I did, it would just be the fighting game stuff. I just have no interest in watching someone sit there and, this is someone I don't know, watching them play like Dragon Age or The Witcher or really any other game because I want to experience it for myself. I don't want to watch them play.
And you know what? You didn't like platformers, and you
I
didn't
don't
care
like
for
platformers.
shooters, and
I
oh.
don't like platformers. I still don't.
Well then, seeing as you don't like platformers, what do you like? Because I see that you've been playing some games over the last week.
No, really not very much. I've been, of course, still in the Mortal Kombat X card game because I'm hopelessly addicted to that. And I've been finishing up LEGO Jurassic World on PS4 and Vita. I've officially gotten a platinum trophy in both of them. So I'm going to be ready, like, after this. That's one reason why I kind of dressed up a little nicer today. Not my yoga stuff. Was to, so I'm actually going to be filming the, my review of the strategy guide this afternoon.
Hooray!
Yes.
Ooh,
So thank you.
video reviews.
Yeah.
We might be moving on.
I still like to write, but for honestly, for my opinions for this guide, I feel like a video is better. It's better for this one. But so yeah, I mean, I was hoping to have started The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, just reviewing that on PS4, and I would be if I had stopped playing LEGO Jurassic World, but. But I was just kind of in the zone, and more thought about Ethan Carter is like that's like a serious exploration, murder mystery game. I'm not ready for that right now. I can't dial that back. I need to because I have to get to work on that. But that's really all I've been doing. What about you?
I played some more Mortal Kombat X. I'm taking a cue from Sonic Fox, and I really enjoy Aaron Black, but I've always played not Outlaw, the two-gun version. So I've always played that where he has the rifle, and I usually play a lame zoning game. I'm the fireball guy, so I really liked what I saw when I've always enjoyed what I've seen of Sonic Fox with his Outlaw version of Aaron Black. So I'm starting to work on that, getting used to the having the whole sword and not being able to really lame out people. So
Oh man, when
start
you
doing
start
that.
doing that combo with the sword, it's like epic. It's over because he would, especially if he could, if he was able to chain that combo where you'd stab him and immediately get on top of them and then you shoot them in the face multiple times. So like, yeah, because he just does that on loop.
Yeah, and then if he drops down the Caltrops and does the sword,
Oh my God.
there's so much dot going on there. It's yeah, his Aaron Black is ridiculous. So I'm working on learning Outlaw and starting to adjust to that. And I'm also playing Predator, trying to figure out which version I really like. Predator's a for me a difficult character just because his combo, like his moves are all relative, they're pretty much all the same except for you press a different button and you get a different result. So I'm trying to figure him out and figure out which character which rendition of him I really like. So been playing that, been spending a lot of time in the lab, as they call it in the FGC, otherwise known as training.
Oh, that's where I need to hang out. I need to go hang out in the training room and work on the executing the breakers because that was the very first time I was able to see how the breakers worked at all. I was like, oh, okay. So I'm like, why aren't you doing the X-ray? Is the X-ray not allowed? Why are they not doing it? And I realized it's because they're saving up their energy bars to do the breaks. So I've never really done the breaks, so I was able to see how that worked.
Yeah, doing those is a big risk because You have three bars, and a breaker takes two of them. So, but
Well, versus the X-ray
three,
would take all three.
yeah. So,
I only saw an X-ray, I think, two or three times. I really didn't see. It was to the point, like, I really thought that maybe they weren't allowed because I didn't see anybody use them. But
Let's see. I also played some more Drive Club. It's starting to grow on me, actually. As I play a little bit more, there is that aspect of I actually have like two friends on there, so every once in a while I'll be driving, doing a race, and all suddenly it's like shows me a person on my friends list that has done something. So not only am I trying to beat the game or beat that win that race, I'm now trying to beat their times or whatever they've done. So it's starting to grow on me. Visually, it's actually a really stunning game. Racing, I'm getting used to it. I'm getting used to that. So I'm still holding. It was free, so I mean, I'm glad I didn't spend $60 on it so far. But it's starting to grow on me. Also been playing both Wolfenstein's, the New Order and the Old Blood. I started the Old Blood because it's like I don't have a whole lot of time, and I'm on. I got too much other shit going on, so I got to start it now. So I really want to play the Old Blood just with the pipe. I loved the first two chapters where I was just crawling around with a pipe and just stabbing shit and killing people and trying to be all sneaky about it. Then it just continuously starts to get harder. And I was like, after I did, like, I restarted a checkpoint three or four times because I kept getting seen. Which is like, fuck it, give me your gun. I'm just going to blow everybody up now. But there's so much enjoyment at, like, sneaking around, even on the dogs, where if you could sneak up on a dog and
You
take them out.
horrible human being. I hated killing the dogs. It broke my heart every time.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's not fun, but at the same point, I don't want them killing me either. So it's either me or them, so they're going. I really like the giant mechanical monsters that or guys that walk around and have that cord, their power cord strung up.
Oh, fuck those guys, man.
Oh, that was so much fun where you'd sneak up on them and then you'd cut their power. It did
Oh,
take a little bit
so
cut
you
there.
haven't gotten to the ones that don't need that.
Yeah. No, I that's why that's one of the reasons why I was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna go ahead and
The guys who
use
aren't on the court, oh man, I'd see them, they're like, I'm gonna cry.
I have found out that I have found myself listening to conversations a lot in this game.
Yes, they're funny.
And they are long conversations too. Like it's not like a just a 30-second ordeal. Some of these go on for 3 or 4 minutes where you're just like, okay. Yeah, okay, so she really wants her wine. That's
Yeah.
cool. No, she really wants her wine. Oh, you're flirting with her. Oh, that's cute. That's cute. She requested her wine again. Just like, so
Well, and since you've now played the New Order and the Old Blood, so you like how the Old Blood makes fun of how BJ's soliloquies?
yeah.
He starts talking about getting candy. I'm like, wait, what? That doesn't sound serious.
It's so entertaining. I wish that we could use a pipe in the New Order, but
You
whatever.
didn't need the pipe in the new order.
Yeah, still be fun. I have noticed that in the Old Blood, the detection is so random. Like, I could be hiding in a spot, and people walk by me, no problem. I'll hide in a similar spot in a different area, and all of a sudden I've got like alarms going off and people shooting at me, and it's like, what the fuck? I'm in an air duct and I'm away from the hole, but you can still see me. That's way to go, team. Good team. Good job, guys. So, but yeah, I'm really glad that I picked both of these games up. I'm glad it was like $40 when I picked them up. It was like one of those gold deals, kind of like what you sent me yesterday with the Forza games. So, I've been very much enjoying these, and I will very much. I'm looking forward to completing both of them. Don't know that I'm gonna. I will probably do the New Order twice just so I can see what happens if I kill the other person, just to see how things kind of play out a little bit differently. But I mean, the game looks absolutely. The game is gorgeous looking. The Old Blood is very entertaining if you can sit there and listen to people before somebody finds you and then tries to kill you.
It's entertaining because it makes fun of
Oh yeah.
everything. And everything that even the last game did, it makes fun of that. That's one reason why I really enjoyed it. Have you gotten to the boss fight yet with the guy with the dogs?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Wait till you get to
I'm
that one.
like tracking him down right now is
Okay.
so he's like drug a person to a dog and fed him, so.
Yes, that was disturbing. And it's like, and you're kind of watching, like I took a screenshot of this, and I was like, are you kidding me right now? Because I think, like, BJ's, like, up, he's, like, you know, tied up, and you see the dog just munching on the guy in the corner. It's like, can you stop that right now? Like, no. Like, seriously, I have to look at that? I can still hear it. Just, no.
Yeah. So, I don't know how far I am in, like, how close I am to getting him, but I started playing that the other day, so. And last but not least, Journey came out on PS4 yesterday, and I am playing that again. I fully plan on platinuming this game like I did the first one, because the trophies are not the same. Well, some of them are the same, but they're not console. They are console-specific is what they are. So I'm working back through that. I am glad that they took away that fucking one where you have to try to convince a random player to sit down with you for 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Because I got really lucky on that one. But, yeah. So now I just need to find somebody that towards the end of the game, we go through it together. So that way I get that achievement where, you know, play it. I've already got meet 10 new people. But, man, the game, you know, it's a simple game. And it looked really good on PS3. But, man, it looks so good on PS4. You know, there's little subtles. Like, the sand is definitely a lot more glistening. You can see a lot more of the grain. Everything is much smoother. Colors are a lot better. Just, man, this game was so good. I'll be playing this at lunch again. So, it's $15. Or cross-buy, as I found out.
Yeah.
So, no reason not to have it. So, if you've already bought it on PS3, enjoy your free version and go and enjoy the, you know, the visual increase.
See, I'm just waiting for it to come on
Vita.
Yeah.
I'll buy it on Vita too.
It'll probably be cross-buy.
It probably will, hopefully. But yeah, I still need to get Geometry Wars 3 on my Vita. So. Or is that PS3? I forget. I need to get it either way. But
I think it's on Vita.
Yeah.
I need to put it on there too. Is that cross-buy?
I have no idea. I know one of them was PS Plus, and I think that was the Vita version.
Maybe it was the Vita. Okay. Yeah. It's yes. It is. Yep. It's still there. It's still there listed as free. So.
Get it. So with that, we're done. Take us home, Carrie.
I think I already purchased it. I'm going to double check just because, like, I can't put it on my, you know, right now. But at least one of these probably got it purchased so that when I'm ready, it'll just be there. Oh, good. Mark does purchase. Thank you. And it's not cross-buy. That's interesting. Because PS3, because I have it on PS4 already, but saying I still need to buy it for PS3. Well, I won't, because I'm kind of not turning on my PS3 unless I have to. But, with that, alright, wrap up this thing and so I can actually, like, get to work today. Man, what a fucking day. Leave us a comment on this post if you have anything you would like us to talk about, or you can email me at strategygarbreviews@gmail.com. You can follow each of us and listen to our other ramblings. Chris is at Starvin, I am at Crunchy Chocobo, and the site is at Strategy Reviews. And keep on reading, keep on listening. We're gonna record the Book of the Month Club tomorrow.
Yay, Drunken Shenanigans.
But I probably won't be drunk. I'll just do that spoiler alert because I'm going out for my birthday on Friday, and so I can't not really want to drink very much on Thursday. I did that last Friday, and I was suffering all day Saturday. So bad. I'm too old for this shit, man. Too old. Yeah. And that's my sign off. I'm too old for this shit.
Too old for this shit.
Yes.
Well, with Carrie being too old for this shit, we're out. Peace.